Good afternoon. Welcome to Two Way Talk here on Public Radio 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. How are you doing, Kara?
I am doing fine. Weren't we just here like 48 hours ago? It was Friday.
By the way, I'm Anthony McCarthy.
And I'm Kara Williams.
It seems like, I'm telling you, the weekend went by so fast.
It went by very fast. But I had a good weekend.
I did too. I slept most of the weekend.
That's good.
I was supposed to be on a program for James Baldwin on Saturday. Mm-hmm. I contacted them way early on Saturday. Cannot be there.
I know.
And I just slept and slept and slept.
Good.
And at a certain point, I lost track of time. Like, I'm looking at the clock and I'm like, 6:50. Why is it 6:50 already in the morning? It was 6:50 in the afternoon. I was just out of it.
Yeah. Saturday, I cleaned and listened to music. Mm-hmm. Then in the evening, you know what I did?
Of course. So,
but it was an easy weekend. And all day Sunday, I just laid around and looked at TV.
Oh, that's nice. So, yeah. I watched the Addams Family movie over the weekend. It was hilarious. It was animated, obviously, right. But I giggled the whole time.
I watched Muhammad Ali Sunday.
Wasn't it good?
It was. The whole thing
really was good. It really was. And I'm telling you, that PBS special on Muhammad Ali, if you're not watching that every weekend, you're missing out.
Yeah.
Because his life was phenomenal.
It was.
And the decisions that he had to make from the time he was a teenager was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't think he even knows, you know, that some of the stuff that he did was groundbreaking. Mm. You know, just standing up against the government
He was a phenomenal human being and an incredible boxer.
Yeah. Yep.
Folks, you probably know that the CDC has come up with new guidelines. They change constantly, and you've got to stay on top of these. But people, I'm telling you, are wanting to gather in huge crowds, wanting to gather for Thanksgiving and Christmas. Well, the CDC has offered you some guidelines around that. We're fortunate to have David Dowdy with us, Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Dr. Dowdy, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thanks so much for having me, Anthony.
It's so great to have you, and we try to keep our listeners in the loop. And every time I see your name as our guest, I'm like, all right, we're going to have some good information. Mm-hmm. Now, what is the guidance for gathering for vaccinated and unvaccinated people?
Yeah, so the guidance is actually not too different because we're still technically in an area of high transmission.
Of course.
And so the guidance is if you're outdoors, generally you don't need to wear a mask unless you're in close contact with lots of other people, particularly people who are unvaccinated. If you're indoors, you probably should. If you know that everyone indoors is vaccinated, you're probably okay taking off the mask in a small sort of setting. But otherwise, it's largely, if you're indoors, wear a mask. If you're outdoors, you don't have to.
Mm. Now, I go for dialysis 3 times a week, and there are tons of attendants, nursing assistants, they're not actually nurses, who attend to us while we're getting dialysis. One of those attendants announced the other day that she's not vaccinated.
Wow.
And so I said to the main nurse, do not assign her to me ever.
Right. So aren't they supposed to be?
I assumed they were, but she was quite proud of the fact that she was not vaccinated. And I said, guess what? You will not be working on Anthony.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that, but that's neither here nor there.
I don't blame you.
I just don't want to take any chances. I have been fortunate enough to get through the COVID pandemic this long.
Me too.
Without me doing something that puts me even more at risk. Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Dowdy, sorry for the
I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all.
At all. And I can't believe that she can actually work with us.
Yeah, that's
unvaccinated.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I may have to make a few calls.
Oh, she might not be there the next time you go. Tomorrow, she might not be there.
Very good point. So, Dr. Dowdy, tell us, now a lot of parents are listening. They want to know what the guidance is for children in the classroom because they're always around each other. They are. So is it the same inside and outside? Make a determination on wearing face masks?
Yeah, so the official guidance is pretty much the same for schools as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're inside, the guidance from the CDC is you should be wearing a mask, and that it's anyone above the age of two, so that includes pretty much anyone.
Everybody,
who's going to school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. So with the holidays coming around, do you think that we should just stick to, even though I guess people are wait to be told what to do, with the holidays coming around, do you think we should stick to those guidelines that we had last year during the holiday season?
Well, I think it's going to be important to see where things head mm-hmm. over the next couple of months. If we are, right now we're seeing cases in lots of the country go down. In Maryland, we're still kind of flat, but
yeah.
But we'll start to see cases go down in the next couple of weeks, I hope. If we get to a point where we're not in that high transmission level,
mm-hmm.
Then if you're vaccinated, the recommendation is that that you can pretty much carry on life as normal.
Mm-hmm.
But we really have to see how much where our disease levels are when the holidays come around. A lot can happen in the next couple of months.
So, Dr. Dowdy, I'm very curious. It was announced today that Mayor Brandon Scott, the mayor of Baltimore, has tested positive twice for COVID-19. He's now quarantining at home, working remotely from home. Now, I saw pictures on his Facebook and his Twitter. He was at maybe three different festivals of this weekend. He was around people all weekend. Should they be worried that he was transmitting the COVID virus?
Yeah, it's a good question. If you're outside, again, the level of transmission is pretty low.
Okay.
We also know that people who have been vaccinated
mm-hmm.
Transmit at a lower level than people who have not been vaccinated even after they get sick. So assuming that Mayor Scott's been vaccinated, and I'm sure he has.
Yeah.
The overall risk, and assuming that these events were largely outdoors, I didn't see the photos you're talking about,
uh-huh.
but overall that risk is pretty low. It's not zero. You can't ever say the risk is zero,
but it's
pretty low.
Good.
So we want to welcome our callers to call in if you have any questions for Dr. Dowdy. Get them now because he's probably going to be busy later on. So 410-319-8888. Give us a call if you have any questions, especially those questions that you asked me and Anthony that we can't answer. So Dr. Dowdy, I think everybody, all the states, United States, wants to model Vermont because they have consistently kept low numbers. What can we learn from Vermont?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think first of all, it's useful to know that right now cases in Maryland per capita are lower than they are in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not doing so bad ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what has made Vermont stand out has been its vaccination levels. So they've got 70% of their entire population fully
wow.
vaccinated, meaning mm-hmm. that when you factor in kids, like they have a vast majority of everyone eligible has been fully vaccinated. And again, we're not doing so bad here in Maryland. We're at 64%, but I think that getting every little bit higher in terms of vaccination, particularly vaccinating the people who are at highest risk, so
mm-hmm.
people who have underlying medical conditions or a little bit older, those are the people who are highest priority, and Vermont's done a good job, and they've been able to keep deaths down. But they're not alone. There are other states that have done a pretty good job too. And to be honest, the past few months, Maryland hasn't been so bad either.
So I watched the governor of Connecticut this morning on national television. Today is the last day for state employees in Connecticut not to be vaccinated. Now, there are some people who are gladly giving up their jobs. Now, this is a political. I don't want you to actually answer the political part of it. A lot of people are protesting that they have to be vaccinated to keep their state jobs. He is unapologetic. He said, if you are working for the state of Connecticut, you will be vaccinated by today or tomorrow. You will not have a job.
Right.
And there won't be, you know, all this thing about testing and finding out every 48 hours, are you clear? He said, you will be vaccinated or you will not work. The state of Maryland does not mandate vaccinations. Do you think, if, as you look across the country, and as you look at the trajectory of the Delta virus and some of the other variants that we're dealing with, will we reach a point where we have to mandate that state employees, hospital employees, all of these employees be vaccinated?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's worth noting that, that Connecticut right now is a state that's doing the best on a per capita basis.
Uh-huh.
So you know, it's in line with their policies. You know, to my mind here, this is really a decision that, that every state, every employer is free to make. I would like it to be not so much about politics and not so much about blaming and shaming people for making one decision or the other. But it's the same sort of thing. And an employer can say, as a condition of working for us, these are the things you have to do, and people can make decisions one way or the other. It doesn't mean that, that one decision is right or wrong, but I think that these sorts of things do help to reduce transmission in the workplace. They help to keep the most vulnerable employees who still have to come into contact with lots of other people, like Mayor Scott, for example.
Yeah.
They keep people safer. So I can understand why states and employers might make these sorts of decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think it's important that that we not shame people for making one decision or another. If someone wants to lose their job and not get vaccinated, I mean, that is their right. But it's also the employer's right to say, if you're going to work for us, this is what you got to do.
That's very true.
That's right.
So, folks, if you want to join our conversation, please call 410-319-8888. We have Dr. Dowdy for just a couple more minutes. So if you want to ask a question, just give us a call. Rita is on the line. Rita, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I want to ask the doctor two quick questions.
Okay.
Number one, the family members who have not been vaccinated, if you have been vaccinated, can you be around them if you have an N95 on?
Interesting.
And the second question is, I heard that vitamin D is very good in warding off the plague. Could you answer that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Rita. So what about that, Judge Dowdy, Dr. Dowdy?
No, those are great questions, Rita. I think that if you have a family member who has not been vaccinated, if you're indoors and you're wearing a mask, you're probably pretty safe. I think the key is if they start to develop symptoms, and start to have reason that they might be sick, to think they might be sick, that's when they need to get tested.
Mm-hmm.
And if so, then it's going to be important to isolate. And honestly, that's going to be true, vaccinated or not. But but I think you're probably okay wearing a mask around your unvaccinated family members.
Now, what about the vitamin D? A lot of people speculate, and there's a lot of rumors about certain vitamins that will ward off the COVID virus. I'm just wondering if any of that's true.
Yeah, I mean, so vitamin D, if you're deficient in vitamin D, is not a bad thing to have in general. It's not going to be a magic bullet against the coronavirus, though.
Uh-huh.
It's like I say, if you get your vitamin D levels tested and they're low, it's not a bad reason for your bones and other reasons to take the vitamin D. But if anyone tells you that there's a vitamin or a pill or anything else that you can take that's going to prevent you from getting infected, they're not telling you the whole deal.
I agree.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's go back to the phone. Sandy, welcome to Two-Way Talk. Sandy?
For the doctor is, are we having our tallies and data being kept on the number of cases who are having adverse reactions to the vaccine? Mm. I'm aware, of people who have been fined and taken the vaccine and had horrible medical replications, ended up in the hospital, they think, as a result of the vaccine itself. That's one question. My next question is, I am loathing taking the booster because every time I've taken the vaccine, I was flat on my back at least 3 days, just like I had COVID all over again. Mm. I'm concerned because I don't want to be sick 3 days according to the rest of my life.
What a very good question. And I understand her concerns.
Yeah.
But trust me, if you had COVID, you'd be much sicker than for 3 days.
Yeah.
So the side effects of the vaccine, if you had 3 days, you did all right. You did okay. Dr. Dowdy?
I think these are great questions. So I think it is important for people to know that there is a very robust mechanism for reporting adverse effects to the vaccine. It's called the Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System. So the CDC gathers all of this information. Anyone who wants to self-report can do so. There's also, doctors will report to this system as well.
Mm-hmm.
So they are collecting data on this. And it is true that that many people do feel short-term effects from the vaccine, just like was being described.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term effects from the vaccine, if they exist, are extremely rare.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always important to think about what the level of these sorts of things is in the general population, not just those people who are getting vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really no evidence that there is any serious long-term reaction from these vaccines. As far as the booster shot, Anthony, I agree with you. The downsides of getting the shot are a lot less than the downsides of getting COVID. It really does depend on your level of risk, though. If you have underlying medical conditions, or if you're over the age of 65, probably those benefits outweigh the downside of being flat on your back for a day. If you're younger, don't have those sorts of conditions, at least not yet, then you're probably okay to wait. And that's okay too. It really is an individual risk benefit calculation and when it comes to that, the question of whether to get the booster now versus later.
So Dr. Dowdy, you said that Maryland is at 64%. What is an ideal percentage?
Well, ideal percent is 100% of everyone who's eligible, and that's going to depend on how many kids you have in your population.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if we're able to get to 70-75%, that would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm curious. We're hearing a lot of people talk about traveling. They want to travel. They want to get on planes. They want to get on trains. They want to be gathering for Thanksgiving and Christmas with their families. At the end of the day, what would you suggest? Should they just follow those guidelines? Put your mask on when you're indoors. If you're outdoors and you have an outdoor event, you're okay, even to be around unvaccinated people.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's going to have to make an individual decision here. Like, how big is the event that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And how likely is it that those people are going to be vaccinated or not?
Mm-hmm.
And how many of those people there are going to be really at risk themselves?
Yeah.
You've got to also keep in mind that other people, even if you're relatively healthy, there are going to be other people at those large family events, your grandparents, great-grandparents, et cetera, who are really going to be at risk, and putting them in a large indoor family gathering probably is not the safest thing to do. Mm. But we also really need to keep an eye on where we are with cases. If cases really go back down for the next couple of months and we're in a better place, then then I think we can be a little bit more open about getting together. I mean, still probably avoiding big indoor unmasked gatherings with hundreds of people, but if cases are going back up, we're going to have to be a bit more cautious. So we really got to keep an eye on where things are going with the state of the pandemic at the time.
Well, I have one final question. Folks, unfortunately, we're out of time. We can't take any more calls. But I do want to ask you, when it comes to our children, what's the timeline for us getting our 11, 12-year-olds vaccinated? Are they being vaccinated now, our teenagers?
So teenagers, yes. Mm-hmm. If you're 12 and up, you're eligible to get the Pfizer vaccine. 5 to 11, we're hoping to get some sort of guidance on this in the coming weeks. But as of right now, we're still waiting.
That's interesting. Well, Dr. Dowdy, thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for the information. Dr. David Dowdy is Associate Professor of Epidemiology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Always great to have you on board.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Folks, we'll be back. You're tuned to Two-Way Talk here on Public Radio WEAA.